stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't gone and checked out all the amazing things we have over at South Harmon, make sure you go over to southharmonff.com in order to check out the tools that we have there to make sure that you are prepared for the playoffs. This episode is the second part of my two-part series reviewing the best matchups and worst matchups for every single position in the playoffs. If you missed the quarterback and running back episode last week, make sure to go back and listen to that right here, the same podcast feed. It's Grinding the Edge, episode number 83. So with that, let's get into the matchups for the wide receivers. For all three playoff weeks, the team with the best overall schedule is Minnesota. If you've been kind of down on Minnesota with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, this is your opportunity to potentially buy low before they have a strong playoffs. Remember that players who have strong playoff runs tend to spike in value throughout the whole offseason. People tend to have a little bit of that recency bias and think that they're better than they are. J.J. McCarthy comes out, he makes Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison have good fantasy performances. I can guarantee you all three of those players are going to be doing well when we go into the offseason. Minnesota was one of the teams that we talked about last week with good quarterback matchup. So it stands to reason that all three of them, if you're going to bet on one of them, you probably want to bet on the other two if you can. The team with the second best wide receiver matchup is Cleveland. Now, the real question is, how much do you trust the Cleveland wide receivers? We saw what Shedeur Sanders looked like last week. It wasn't great, but maybe with a full week of practice, getting to be able to gel with these starters, maybe it helps out a little bit with Cedric Tillman. Maybe it helps out a little bit with Jerry Jeudy. We'll have to see exactly what that looks like and whether that's going to happen. But if you're willing to take a really cheap chance, I know I've been doing that a little bit of just picking up some Cedric Tillman here and there. Like, it's not a bad situation to try and dive into. Third best is Miami. Jalen Waddle is really the only wide receiver that I want to give like a call out to. All the other wide receivers on that team, they tend to just kind of get a little bit here and there, and you don't really know what they're doing week to week. But Jalen Waddle is definitely somebody that I am going out and targeting a lot. If you have a late first and you need to spend it now in order to maintain a first round bye or maintain playoff position, Jalen Waddle is not a bad target that I think that you can probably go out with that first and get off of a lot of teams that aren't competing. The next one is San Francisco. Ricky Pearsall, Jawan Jennings, both of those guys are players that are going to have really great matchups. And with Brock Purdy back, they should be having some better targets going their way as well. The Washington Commanders have really strong weeks 15 and 17. It's just their week 16 is pretty bad. So that means that if Terry McLaurin's able to come back, you get Deebo Samuel. Those two receivers are going to hopefully do well for you in the playoffs. Maybe week 16 they aren't the strongest, and you maybe want to rely on having some other wide receivers for that week, but either of those guys could potentially turn into that week 17 league winner that, you know, we're looking for. Baltimore also has three positive matchups in the playoffs. Now, I know Zay Flowers is somebody that has been kind of struggling a little bit for what people's expectations were, but he could potentially have a little bit of an uptick here in the playoffs with some strong playoff matchups. Rashad Bateman, also another really cheap wide receiver that you could potentially go out and target. Philadelphia is the last team with three positive playoff matchups. So look out for your AJ Browns and your Devonta Smiths. It's been a slow season for both of them, but if Philadelphia picks it up with some of these good matchups, then you know that you're going to be in for some really big weeks. If you're only looking for week 16 and 17, maybe you've got yourself that first round bye, the top teams, they change around a little bit. The number one team becomes San Francisco, who we've already talked about. Number two stays is Cleveland. Number three becomes Green Bay, who we did not talk about for the three-week playoff section. So Green Bay, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, like all those guys could potentially be somebody that you want. If you're looking for somebody pretty cheap that could maybe fill in a flex, not a bad team to go to if you're going to need one of those guys or for your best ball team in order to potentially get somebody who might be able to go off. Washington has such a good Week 17 matchup that it makes up for their bad Week 16 matchup, and so they actually come in as the fourth best in terms of across the two championship weeks, even though there are multiple teams that have two positive matchups behind them that don't actually have a higher score across the playoffs as a whole. Those teams are Baltimore, Philadelphia, Miami, and Minnesota. Now, one spot above Minnesota is also Detroit. Detroit has a really good Week 16, but a really bad Week 17. And the same thing goes with the Chargers, who are right behind Minnesota. They actually have the best Week 16 matchup for any wide receiver, and then they have the worst Week 17. So they go from the best matchup to the worst matchup, Week 16 to 17. If you are willing to gamble on your ability to sell these players at the exact right time, you could get a bunch of Chargers for Week 16, ride them through, and then sell them all for Week 17. Bank on whoever you're selling it to not noticing the pickle that you're in and being able to get some of the other guys that have those really good Week 17 matchups. Kind of a risky play to do. I personally know that I am not going to be able to pull something like that off in most of my leagues, so it's not something that I'm necessarily going to be going for. Now for the teams that have the worst matchups. The first one is Tampa Bay. So if you've been riding Emeka Egbuka, minus the little bit of injury that he's had going on and the downturn, and you've been riding Chris Godwin more recently, just know that they have really bad matchups across the entire playoffs. So those ceilings that maybe you were getting a little bit earlier out of them, they may not exist it the way that they were before. It also might mean it's a time to sell Egbuka now before everyone sees that ceiling kind of just disappear and sees that, hey, maybe he isn't worth that wide receiver 8 or 10 or whatever it was price that he got up to on keep trade cut. The second team with really bad playoff matchups is the Kansas City Chiefs. So Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, those ceilings might get taken off the top a little bit. Probably not too much compared to what they are now, just because the Chiefs, you know, they haven't had as strong of an offense this season. But keep in mind, it might be harder for Rashee Rice to hit that 25-30 point game, and he might be more down in that 10-15 range. Las Vegas, they have a really bad weeks 15 and 16 with an okay week 17. But realistically, if you have any wide receivers on Vegas and you're relying on them, you probably haven't been that competitive anyway. Arizona, they also have a bad week 15 and 16 with an okay week 17. That goes for Marvin Harrison and goes for Michael Wilson. You're relying on Jacoby Brissett against good defenses. There's a reason Jacoby Brissett is a backup. Maybe give Marvin Harrison and Michael Wilson a little bit more in order to take advantage of some of the good matchups that they have here in the next couple weeks, but then try and ditch them before the playoffs. Tennessee, they've got three negatives. They're already a poor passing offense. And so if you've been relying on Kamiri Adike, Alec Amanor, or any of the other targets on this team, then you probably aren't competitive at this point either. Maybe you've been getting some fill-ins here and there for those guys, but in the playoffs, you aren't going to be wanting to rely on those guys, even if they had good matchups, realistically. So then, with the fact that they have three bad matchups, see if he can get some value out of them by sending them to a rebuilder now. For New Orleans, once again, relying on a poor passing attack, maybe Tyler Shuck can turn it around and get you a little bit more value. I mean, he did okay, but Chris Olave is going to be the biggest receiver that's going to take a downturn from this. If you've been looking at Olave and been like, hey, he's kind of been surprising this season. Like, I know he's surprised me with how well he's been doing. Well, the matchups as we get into the playoffs are not great for him. Now, if you're only looking at week 16 and 17, the number one worst is Tennessee. So if you've got that first round bye, yeah, you don't want to be relying on Kamari, DK, Elik Iemanoir, those kinds of guys. But guess what? You probably weren't to begin with. Number two, Tampa Bay. We already talked about them. Bad matchups. Kansas City is number three. We already talked about them. Number four is Buffalo. So Shakir and then all the random guys, they are going to have tough times in week 16 and 17. Number five is Las Vegas, who we already talked about. And then number six has two negatives. 16, a very, very small negative. But 17 is much larger. And those are the LA Rams. So Puka Nacua, Davante Adams. You want to probably still rely on those guys. Like, they're going to probably put up good points in the fantasy playoffs. But once again, it's one of those situations of, they might not have quite the ceiling that you necessarily were going for. So if you have the choice between who you're going to target, maybe you're trying to make that push in order to bolster your team. Maybe Puka Nacua is not the exact guy you want to go for. And maybe you want to go for somebody that has more average matchups. Maybe you want to go for like a JSN or something like that. For the tight ends, across the three playoff weeks, the number one best matchup is the Miami Dolphins. Darren Waller, if he's back, you absolutely want to go out and get him. I mean, when he was healthy and he was playing for that team, like, poof, he was knocking it out of the park. But Julian Hill, I guess, or Greg Dulcich would be the two guys that you want to look at if Darren Waller doesn't come back. If he decides, you know what, I'm just going to retire, I'm not doing this football thing anymore. Number two is Baltimore. We know which tight ends we want there. We want Mark Andrews. We want Isaiah Likely. The matchups are good enough. Maybe there's the potential that, you know, they're both able to eat. We've also seen Charlie Kohler get a little bit more run here and there. Like, he's getting a couple passes here and there. Unfortunately, I think that just eats into the ceiling of Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely. But Mark Andrews, he's been doing well in terms of getting red zone targets. The Ravens really like targeting him in the red zone, giving him those opportunities. I think that if there's somebody sneaky who might be able to explode into the playoffs, it would be Mark Andrews. The third best matchup is Indianapolis. Tyler Warren is going to be a buy high kind of player for me. He's somebody that I'm going to see if I can't go out and get a little bit more of. I personally don't have enough of him, even though I think I probably should have. I probably should have gotten a little bit more of him than Loveland this past offseason. That was kind of a bad process move by me. But Tyler Warren is somebody who he's been doing great for fantasy purposes, and he should hopefully be doing great when we get into these playoffs as well, because he has some really, really good matchups. The New York Jets, Mason Taylor buy high as well. If you need a cheaper option, Tyler Warren is on a contender. He's just too expensive. Mason Taylor, somebody you might be able to go out and find and be able to get on your team, who might be able to give you some good points numbers. Not at the level that Tyler Warren's going to, but he's going to be a serviceable tight end. If you're in a best ball league and you just need somebody to fill that spot, if you're in a lineup league and you've just been playing full tight ends don't matter, and you want to have somebody who hopefully should be able to give you some decent above replacement points, Mason Taylor is somebody who I'd potentially go out and target. Seattle, it is AJ Barner who you want to go and get. He has the fifth best matchup across all three playoff weeks. And so AJ Barner, a little bit cheaper than Mason Taylor, but he's somebody that is going to go out there, hopefully get you some good points, and he's had a couple good weeks here more recently. And with the sixth best, the last team that has three positive playoff matchups is the Detroit Lions. With Sam Laporta going on IR this past week, it means that he might be missing the playoffs. We don't know exactly how long he's going to be out. He's out at least four games, and those four games are going to be the ones leading up to the playoffs. If, for whatever reason, Sam Laporta misses the playoffs, Brock Wright is going to be who you want. We saw both last season and so far the most recent game, Brock Wright is the tight end you want. And with the three positive matchups that Detroit has, Brock Wright is the player that, hey, I can't afford AJ Barner, I can't afford Mason Taylor, or I don't want to spend my resources on them. Go and get Brock Wright. If you're just looking for the last 2 weeks, the number one best matchup starts with Miami. So Miami best for all three and for the last two. The second best is Indianapolis. Third best, Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay and Cade Otton, they actually have the third best matchup for tight ends in the last 2 weeks, despite having the worst matchup for wide receivers in the last 2 weeks. So Tampa Bay is a team that you are going to want to invest in Cade Otton and get rid of the wide receivers. Just the beauty of how matchups work for fantasy football. Number four, best for the last 2 weeks, is Detroit. Fifth, San Francisco. So go out there and get yourself that George Kittle if you're looking for that week 16-17. The sixth best is Arizona. They have a really, really good a week 17 and a really, really bad week 16. So Trey McBride is somebody who you could go get for that potential championship winning week, but you just need to make sure that you get there. Cincinnati, they have the seventh best in the last 2 weeks. So Noah Fant and Tanner Hudson, now that Gesicki is out, well, those two guys might be two guys that you want to have, especially with Joe Burrow coming back. And then the eighth team with two positive matchups at the end of the year is Seattle. We've already talked about AJ Barner potentially there. Now for the worst matchups. Across all 3 weeks, the worst matchups is Las Vegas. So Brock Bowers' ceiling might be capped here. Keep that in mind in terms of, hey, what does that look like going into next season? We saw that last year where, you know, those tight ends that just kind of trailed off towards the end of the year, they dropped a few rounds in startups compared to some of the other guys. I think Brock Bowers might be somebody who potentially does that. The second worst is Kansas City. So Travis Kelce, not great matchups. If you're still hanging on to him and you're a non-contender, you might just want to get rid of him before the bottom's out. The third worst is Philadelphia. So Goddard, he has a fine week 16, but his weeks 15 and 17 are bad. So keep that in mind of, okay, you might not want to rely on him, especially for championship week. New England has Hunter Henry. He has a fine week 17, so you could rely on him for that championship week, but weeks 15 and 16 are bad for him. Houston, Dalton Schultz. He's been putting up a season that's kind of surprised me. I know when I was talking about it with some other guys that Schultz was a surprising tight end five on this season. Like, I didn't feel like he was there. I didn't really notice he was there, but he's gotten there. Well, he has three bad matchups in the fantasy playoffs. So we need to keep that in mind that maybe he won't be tight end five in the playoffs. Maybe he'll be closer to like tight end 10 or 12 or something like that. The last team is Buffalo. So if Dalton Kincaid is able to come back, then he should have a fine week 15, but his week 16 and 17 are rough. Otherwise, you're looking at Jackson Hawes, you're looking at Dawson Knox, and neither of those guys have really done that much, even with the past couple weeks with, like, basically no wide receivers on Buffalo. And so that's kind of what most worrying to me is, that neither of those guys are doing anything. We really need Dalton Kincaid, and he's got some bad matchups week 16 and 17. He's going to draw a lot of coverage. It's just kind of a little bit of a trap for me. Now, if you're just looking at the last 2 weeks, you've already got that bye and you want to make sure you do not have the guys that have the bad matchups, well, that Buffalo team I was just talking about have the worst matchups in week 16 and 17. The second worst is Houston, who I talked about just before that. So Buffalo and Houston being buoyed off of their week 15 a little bit because their 16 and 17 are just that bad. Washington has an absolutely horrendous week 16 matchup and an average week 17 one. So Zach Ertz, he might be just fine for you in terms of the fantasy championship, but he might have some problems helping you get there. Kansas City has the fourth worst in the last two, and then it's Philadelphia, and then it's Las Vegas. So those teams, they have bad week 16 and 17 still, but their week 15 is also worse than their week 16 and 17. So in all reality, just trying to stay away from them just across the board. So that's it for the playoff recaps. So those are the schedules to pay attention to. Those are the players that I'm calling out as, hey, you want to go get these guys. You might want to stay away from these guys. And go out and start making some of those moves now before the rest of your league is necessarily going to be fully focused on that. Now for my trade spams for the week. I've only got two really quick ones here for you. First one is Shedeur Sanders. If you are not willing to believe on him, if you saw that performance last week and you're like, I just don't want this guy on my team anymore, he's got all the worst vibes about him, then just sell him for a third now. This is your opportunity. He is starting this week. If he looks good, he's going to take over the starting job because Dylan Gabriel wasn't really that good himself, and they'd want to see what Shedeur Sanders can do. If he's really bad, nobody's going to want to buy him from you. So if you're willing to take the gamble that, A, he does better than what a third-round pick is worth, and I'm able to sell higher later, absolutely fine. Go ahead and do that. Personally, that's kind of the boat that I'm in. I'm like, for the few Shedeurs I have, I'll just take the gamble that he ends up turning out better, and I'm able to either sell more for later, or maybe he just is a surprise fifth-round quarterback who fell a bunch and who looked really bad in his first game, who's able to turn it around. But I'm not necessarily holding my breath for that. The second one is Devin Singletary. If you can sell him for a third, he got 16 carries last week. He got two touchdowns. Like, that's what anybody who's wanting to spend a third for a running back is looking for. Nothing's changing in his backfield. Everything is lined up for him to repeat, except for the fact that basically all his matchups for the rest of the season are bad. He has two really, really bad ones the next 2 weeks. And so other than the fact that, like, if you look at what he did this past week, like, it was 16 carries for like 40 yards. Like, it wasn't really that great. But he did enough. He got enough points the week before. You might be able to get a little bit of value out of him now. And the last thing for the week, the tight ends don't matter segment for the week. Last week, I wish I knew about Laporta going on IR. I definitely would have gone Brock Bowers over Jackson Hawes. But unfortunately, recorded this podcast too early, didn't know about it. And so I ate a zero last week. Knowing that, I'm switching to Brock Wright this week. Showed up on the waiver wire pod. He's eligible for me to pick up still. Absolutely going out getting Brock Wright. I wish I had his couple receptions last week, and I'm hoping that he's going to repeat that this week. That's all that I have for this week. Absolutely go check out everything we have over at SouthHarmonFF.com or go to Patreon.com/SouthHarmon and join the Discord. Talk to the South Harmon community and become a part of the people that you want to see in the fantasy space. As always, make sure you stay sharp and keep grinding that edge, and I'll see you next week.